Welcome to Circle of Hearts Radio. Journey with Grandmother Aliyah as she enters her magical world of relics, sacred sites, and ancient crystal skulls. Meet with exciting trailblazer authors and individuals shifting the consciousness of humanity. Send her your questions to be answered on air on her monthly segment, Ask the Oracle. And now your host, Grandmother Aliyah, in the sanctuary on the airwaves on Om Times Radio.
Welcome to my sanctuary on Circle of Hearts Radio on Om Times Radio. Today we're going to stop talking about, really the problems of the world and make it a little bit lighter. I have a chance to introduce you to a really interesting and fun person, Victor Vermeulen. I was trying to figure out how to introduce him as first as a co-worker and a gunner, because having your own radio show is not really necessarily a sense of working. It's kind of fun. So I'm going to say co-manifester on Om Times Radio. And Victor is really interesting. He hosts the show Destination Unlimited with the Wednesday 8 p.m. on Om Times Radio, and he's very multi-talented, and he and I happen to click because we're both kind of weird, and I thought this would be great. I remember seeing him on Facebook when he started his show, and he had the words, the voice. And I don't know why, but there's something in him that I recognize. I think I know this guy, some other time, some other place in the world. So I sent him, parentheses, the voice, really? And then I clicked on his show, and I'm going, oh, that's what it means, the voice. You got to hear him. So, Victor, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Aliyah. Lovely to be here with you on this beautiful Sunday afternoon.
So now everybody knows why you're called the voice. I mean, that's not the real reason. We're going to get into it. But you're in a very calming, you have a presence. You got a sense of humor, too.
Well, thanks. Yeah. The voice, I was actually dubbed the voice by my former radio partner, Chris, on the show we used to do called Second Sight Radio. But the concept of my voice is something that is very interesting. I've had this voice since I was 11 years old, and
oh, wow.
People used to call our house when I'd answer the phone. They'd say, hi, Abe. My dad was Abe. So they thought I was my father because they couldn't imagine that a child would have a voice like this. And, I've gone through life with this voice, and I had done some radio in college. And some TV work actually in college. And then I was in the Air Force from 1973 to 1979. And I did Armed Forces radio and TV. I was over in Korea and Guam and Japan and many places around the world. And this voice came to bear for that. What this voice really is about, in addition to communication, and I love doing Destination Unlimited and bringing people who are change makers in this world and who are fascinating and who bring a connection between spirituality and science into this world. And I love interviewing them. But what this voice is really about and has been about for the last 25 or 30 years is helping people to heal. I've used my voice in healing now for about 30 years. I've been facilitating meditation and guided meditation and doing work of that nature. And then you're going to talk a little bit about my paranormal background later. And in the paranormal world, my role with paranormal teams has been to guide spirit over to the other side. And it's a great gift.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, I was teasing you about it because I'm thinking, okay, maybe we have a Frank Sinatra here, the voice. But it is. It's amazing that you had it since 11 years old. So, the voice from the throat chakra is energy that you put out into the world. It is very calming. And what I like being able to do about this show and to bring you to the listeners, that for some odd reason listen to me, is to, expand their listing view, you know, that Victor has another show on a different date, and he brings in a lot of interesting subjects. But most importantly, once you get to know him, a lot of people, they don't really know the host. You know, they read our little background and say, oh, well, maybe this person's interesting or not. But when they hear our voices and you connect one-to-one and maybe learn a little bit of the background of the person, I think we develop more of a one-to-one relationship. So that's why I'm really, you know, kind of thrilled to have you on the show so that you can...
Maryland case, I actually started turning yellow, and I had gone to see the military physician. And the doctor said, you have hepatitis, and we need to put you in the hospital. And I was actually taking some classes over there. And I said, I have my finals tomorrow. Can I take my finals and then come back to the hospital? He says, oh, you're pushing it, but yeah, you can do that if you feel up to it. And I took my test, and I went back to the hospital afterwards. And they started treating me very differently from the other patients in this area of the hospital who also had hepatitis B. And I said to the doctor, I said, why are you treating me differently? And he said, well, you have a very, very bad case of it. And they were giving me shots of vitamin K, which is a blood clotting factor, because in the course of having hepatitis B or all forms of hepatitis, potassium and vitamin K are depleted from your body, and those are important for blood clotting. In any event, the nurse, the doctors and the nurses were taking care of me, and they actually reached out to my mother via the Red Cross saying that I was very seriously ill and that there was a potential they were going to air evacuate me out of Korea into the Philippines, and also offering my mother transportation if she wanted to be with me. And the doctor came in one night, and I said, this is about 3 or 4 days after I was in the hospital. I said, doctor, I said, could I possibly see a copy of Grey's Anatomy or an anatomy book? And he said, why? I said, I'd like to see what a healthy liver looks like. And he said, why? I said, I don't know. I just, something tells me I'd like to see a picture of a healthy liver. So he looked at me with incredulity and kind of laughed a little bit. And he brought the book in finally, and I studied it. And I'm looking at this picture of a healthy liver. And then this is before, this was 1975, it was before I was aware or conscious of visualization meditation and or healing of any kind other than Western medicine. And so I studied the picture of the liver, and all of a sudden my hand started gravitating over the area of the liver and the abdomen, and I started feeling this warmth and this tingling and this beautiful sensation. And then the following morning, the nurse awakened me at 5 a.m. to draw blood, because that's when they started taking blood in the morning.
I know. Don't you love it?
Oh, it's wonderful to be rudely awakened and have your arm stuck. But in any event, about 2 hours later, she came back and she said, I'm really sorry. The labs messed up your blood. We need to take another draw. And she took another draw. An hour later, the doctor came in with this weird expression on his face. He said, what did you do? I said, what do you mean, what did I do? He says, last night after I gave you the book, what did you do? I said, I studied the picture of the liver, and I started thinking about it, and my hands felt weird, and I moved my hands over my abdomen. I felt tingling and warmth and this wonderful feeling, and I fell asleep. He says, well, that's crazy. I said, why is it crazy? He said, we took your blood this morning twice because we couldn't believe the results, but last night your liver enzymes indicated you were actually close to dying, and this morning they're completely normal, and we've never seen that happen before. And that was my first experience with healing, with energy healing and spiritual healing. And you would think that that would have spurred something in me, but I wasn't ready yet. It took another 20 years or so before I was ready to get back into the path.
So jumping forward, you know, going into this part, going into the ministry and the, you know, the Reiki healing will lead into your paranormal later. What finally, 20 years later, said, okay, you know, maybe there's something I should really start to get involved with?
Well, this actually started in the mid-80s. It would have been about 10 or 11 years after that. And I started having some issues with my lower back, having some problems. And a friend of mine who was a sculptor, Japanese sculptor, was also a yoga practitioner. He says, yoga would be very helpful for you. And so I looked at a local newspaper for a night school, And the local high school had night classes, and one of the classes was a yoga class. And I started taking yoga lessons. And the teacher said, "I love your voice. Would you start facilitating meditation with me?" And I said, "Absolutely." So I started leading the meditation at the yoga classes. And then we would go to these wonderful retreats, yoga and meditation retreats, at a beautiful Zen monastery in upstate New York. And at one of these retreats, somebody mentioned the word Reiki. Now, I'd never consciously heard the word Reiki in my life that I was aware of, but something about it resonated with me. And there were two or three of us who said, that's something, this was October, this was something that we said we'd look into, you know, next year, though. It's always next year, it's never right now. But 2 weeks later, we were all together in our first Reiki class, and the Reiki was the reminder and the spiritual accelerant that turned this all on again for me.
Well, that's, I know we're going to be hanging against, you know, commercials soon, so we're going, oh, see, it came quicker than I thought.
I know the timing, that's why I stopped.
Hey, very good.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
There is no death, only a change of worlds. Chief Seattle. Deborah Livingston is an award-winning intuitive psychic medium whose international services include mediumship, spiritual assessment, animal communication, and spiritual mentoring. She is a published author and a trained shaman. Deborah provides evidential messages from spirit and departed loved ones. Learn more at devlivmedium.com. That's D-E-B-L-I-V medium.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
to. Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Back with Victor Furman, and it's, you know, what is exciting is that you have the chance to really get to meet him and to know him and his experiences that make him who he is, a very all-around Renaissance guy, I think you would say. How do you like that one?
Well, I'll tell you something. I think I'm as old as the Renaissance. I don't know about being a Renaissance guy, but... You know, just the beauty of age is sort of approaching. You know, I'm in the autumn of my life right now, and I'm starting to feel it a little bit, but we're also working with that, but that's okay. But getting back to what we were talking about before the break, so I had that experience with Reiki, and like I said, Reiki became the spiritual accelerant for me. And I just want to back up for a second, because what I didn't discuss was what my life had been up to that point. And when I was out of the service, I actually tried to get a job in broadcasting in those days. And in those days, I had a wife and a brand new baby. And what the broadcast media, unless you had a connection in a major market in those days, what the radio stations and smaller markets were offering was a six-day work week at basically minimum wage or a little above minimum wage. And there was no way that I could subject my family to that. Had I been a single guy, that would have been another story. But I had a background with my dad in business as a kid, and had a background also in business and business communication. And so I put an ad in the Sunday Times, and I said, let my communication skills enhance your business. And on the following Monday, I received a call from a gentleman in the welding and industrial supply industry. He interviewed me on a Tuesday and hired me on Wednesday, and I've been at that job for the last 37 years. So when people talk to me about what I do, I say, well, my day job, which is that's what it is, and I knew nothing about it. I'm self-taught in the industry, but I learned fast and learned fast about that industry specifically. And in fact, last year I got my license as a certified welding inspector to add to my toolkit of things that we offer our customers after 37 years. Anyway, so I say to people, I said, the day job pays my salary. That's my form of support. I said, everything else that I do is my night job, and that pays my solary. And that's exactly what it's about for me. This is the work, the radio work and the healing work and the interfaith ministry. That's all salary for the soul. That's solary, and that's exactly why I do it, and that's why I love it.
Yeah, that's a good word. I like that one.
Thank you. Please, you know what I say to people? Whatever I put out in the world, take it. If it resonates with you, run with it and make it your own. And if it doesn't, let it go. I don't care. It's just, you know, we're all here to do that. We're all here to put this message out into this world for people to hear. And if they choose to find something of value in it and run with it, that's a wonderful thing. And if they don't, that's wonderful too. It's all freedom, free will. We all have that ability to choose, to pick and choose what we want to do in our lives. And hopefully some of the folks that we reach through the medium of radio and television and writing and whatever else we do, hopefully some of those words will make them consciously look at their lives and do something to benefit our mutual world together. And that's the goal of all of this work for us. So I think that's what it's about. So getting back to my I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. Go ahead. I was just going to lead you back right now. I mean, I totally agree with what you said before, but we're going to lead you back. What was your first Reiki experience like?
Well, that's really interesting, because in my first day, this is also part of the spiritual thing. On the first day of Reiki, we did a meditation, and the teacher said, I would like you to go inside. He taught us a hand position, a kanji position. And while doing that position, he said, go inside and see what information comes to you. And the very first thing that I did when I closed my eyes was I saw the energetic outline of what appeared to be an angel. And angels had not been part of my consciousness up to that point. And when the teacher asked, what did you see? I said, I saw an angel. And the teacher said, ask the angel its name. And without closing my eyes or meditating or thinking, immediately in my left ear, I heard the name Gabriel. Okay, all right. Okay, Angel Gabriel, Archangel Gabriel. Again, I had no connection to this prior to this day. That evening, I went home and I said to my daughter, who was, I think, 10 or 11 at the time, I said, would you like to feel what this Reiki feels like? And she said, I'd love to feel this. And I said, okay. And she sat in the chair, and I put my hands behind her head, and she said, Daddy, I feel tingling, and it feels good. And I said, thank you. I said, do you have any other sensation? She says, well, I see something in my mind's eye. I said, what do you see? She says, I see all of our family who've been before. And she started mentioning my father, who had passed long before she was born, and other folks, and she started describing them, actually. And I thought that was really amazing. And I said, what else do you see? She says, Daddy, flying above them is an angel. And I said, does the angel have a name? And she said, Gabriel. And so that, for me, was this amazing and wonderful confirmation of what this path was turning into. And, of course, she's very gifted, too. And, you know, I boast about her. I love her so dearly. And she is just very gifted and sometimes doesn't even recognize those gifts in herself. And that'll come in time, I know. Anyway, so with the Reiki experience, what happened next was really interesting. In those days, if you wanted to go into a hospital and do laying on of hands, you either had to be a licensed massage therapist or ordained in a faith where the laying on of hands was considered to be a sacrament or part of the spiritual practice. And I was basically born into a non-observant Jewish family. My grandparents, my father's parents were Orthodox. And my grandfather, who was very special to me, and I'll talk a little bit about him later. But in any event, so a few friends of mine were sending essays to California. You'd write a 2-page essay as to why you wanted to be ordained and send a money order for $25 to one of these Unitarian churches in California, and they send you a certificate of ordination. And I never did things the easy way. I always had to really get involved and dig in and find the truth behind everything. And through a wonderful series of synchronicities, and synchronicities have absolutely played a tremendous part in my life, and I recognize that even more in the last few years, I was introduced to an organization called the New Seminary of New York. It had been founded in 1982 by a wonderful rabbi by the name of Joseph Gelberman, a Catholic priest, an Episcopal priest, a couple of yogis. Swami Satchidananda actually had involvement in this organization also, and then an imam, other religious leaders of different ilks, and there was a practitioner of Budun, all types of wonderful folks. And the whole purpose of this seminary, it was like an adult education ceremony for people who already had careers and were professionals in various fields. A lot of people who attended the school were therapists of various kinds. And the whole concept that this rabbi and his wonderful people put together was that in our world, tolerance is not enough. And this is way back. This is 82 we're talking about now. And that we have to learn to not only tolerate, but we have to love each other and respect each other's beliefs and religions and whatever cultural and spiritual practices that people have. We have to recognize them as being part of the one, because ultimately everything goes back to the one source. And so I attended the school. I graduated in November of 1997. And of course, when you go into something with one idea, spirit always has other ideas for you.
That was so true.
Absolutely. And my idea was to be able to walk into a hospital and do laying on of hands and have the ordination credentials to show that this was part of a spiritual practice or a sacrament. And of course, I'm not going to tell the entire story on this in the show because we'll never get to the other stuff. But through these wonderful synchronicities, I wound up as a chaplain for the Red Cross after 9/11, which was something I never expected to be. And my wife was also ordained, and we actually met through this, my second wife, who we met through the seminary, also was a chaplain. We were chaplains together during the after 9/11. Wonderful. It was a period of about 5 weeks, and the city of New York had set up this family assistance center on one of the piers on the west side of Manhattan. And all of the folks who had lost people or who were waiting for word as to whether or not their loved ones had survived were there. And we were there to listen and to give them sacred space to grieve or to process whatever it was they were going through at the time. And I can't say enough for the city of New York. And at that time, Mayor Giuliani, who a lot of people don't like his politics now, but what he did for the city of New York after 9/11 was absolutely, and his team, what they put together in the mode afterwards to recover and to get life back on in New York City was just amazing. And that was such a wonderful and rewarding experience. And of course, being ordained, then I was able to go on, and I've been asked to do many marriages. I've done funerals and memorial services. I've done baby blessings. Not something that I seek out, but for whatever reason, when I'm needed in that environment, it finds me. One quick example of that, I had been contacted by the magazine The Knot. They did a show called Celebrity Wedding, and they needed a interfaith minister to officiate a wedding on the show Celebrity Wedding. And it turns out, now they could have hired anybody, and why, I'm thinking to myself, why was I asked or why was I called to do this specific wedding? And what it turned out to be was that the couple getting married had just gone through some amazing healing experiences and actually were grieving over the loss of the groom's dad. And the groom had also donated an organ for his mother to be alive. And again, healing motif.
Wow.
generosity of spirit and healing, and I was called into that to be their officiant.
You can do a show just on this each topic. That's why it's so exciting to be able to have people really find out what you're all about. I mean, you know, I kid you about the voice and stuff, but seriously, to get to know you as a person and some of the experiences and, you know, how it keeps on, like you said, there's synchronicity, keeps on evolving.
Absolutely.
It's really interesting. And, you know, I'm glad to get a chance to people for you to speak on this. I know we both know, we're heading into a commercial. And then I'd like to bring out the talk about the paranormal, because there's an interesting connection between spirit and the paranormal. We'll be back.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com. And change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello. Join us, Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter, every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the Mindset Makeover, What's Possible? Get ready to become present, clear, and unstuck, and start living fully, led by your heart. While you listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song, you'll open up to what's possible and experience your shift.
Hey, this is Reva McIntyre, and I wanted to talk to you about a serious problem right here in our own backyard. Did you know that there are nearly 16 million kids struggling with hunger in America? That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food, engaging their communities in solving hunger and giving hope to hungry kids and their families. But they need your help. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Well, we're back, and, you know, the time's going real quick, and I'm trying to get a lot of things in. Another thing I really found fascinating about Victor was he and I have the same approach to the paranormal, that there's really sometimes a lot of spiritual work going on. It's not what you see on TV of people walking around with those things, people screaming in the background. There's spaces, interesting examples, and sometimes the work being done is either to help clear the space or, you know, to understand what's going on. And I'm going to let him broaden your mind about the paranormal and the so-called ghost hunting that people do on TV. You can add your perception to this, Victor.
Absolutely. Actually, I'd like to just start with my first conscious experience of disembodied spirit. I had mentioned I was very close to my paternal grandfather, who was a Kabbalist and a mystic and someone who he was much older when I was young. He was in his 80s when I was a child. And when I was four and five and six years old, and we would talk, he wouldn't talk to me like a child. He talked to me like a peer, like someone who would understand what he was talking about, and sharing with me and mentoring me and teaching me and preparing me. And I didn't even recognize that at the time, but in retrospect, that's what he was doing. In any event, I'm 7 years old, and I'm in my parents' apartment in Brooklyn, New York, and looking at a book, and I look up from the book, and I see standing in front of me my grandfather with a big smile on his face. And I said, "Grandpa, what are you doing here?" And there was no response, obviously. And just stood there for a couple of seconds and sort of dissolved. And I went into the living room and I said to my mom and dad, I said, "Grandpa was here." And they said, "Oh, you're imagining things again." I was one of those kids who was labeled with a overactive imagination. Anyway, a few minutes later, the phone rang and it was word that my grandfather had passed away. So that was my first conscious experience of disembodied spirit. And like I said, that and my healing in Korea and everything else that was going on, you would think that that would have been the epiphany, the jumping point, the aha moment where my life, and it wasn't, it really wasn't, because I wasn't ready until my mid-30s to late-30s to start really rediscovering and knowing again what all this and doing the work for all this. Anyway, In the 90s, I was again getting involved with. I was teaching healing classes and doing all kinds of wonderful stuff. And around, I don't remember the exact year, but it was in the 2000s. I had learned of this wonderful group called Paranormal NYC, and it was founded by Dom Vallela, who has since become a wonderful and dear friend of mine. And through a series of meetings and circumstances, he asked me to join the group, and I did. And I didn't need proof of it. You know, you see these shows, and people are looking for evidence. Everything is about finding evidence. I want a photograph or a video or an EVP, a sound recording of a disembodied spirit or whatever it might be. And for me, there was no evidence needed because I've been living this really since I was a child, so I know what this is about. So my role in the paranormal work was more about spiritual counseling, and it was counseling both the living and counseling the dead. And that's really where my forte and where my skills and talents and the gifts that I have were able to be put to use. And that's in twofold. So, for example, we'd get called into families' homes, and they would say that they're experiencing things. And my first role, one of my roles, was to do a walkthrough and just see if I sensed anything, in addition to the scientific instruments that the other members of the group were using, the recorders and various meters for detecting EMF, electromagnetic fields, field anomalies, and that type of thing. But my job was to use the tools that I was born with, which is the senses that I have, my empathy, and so on. And so that would be part of it. But a lot of my work had to do with sitting down and talking to the people and finding out what was really going on. And in 90% of the investigations that we did, the reason for what was happening in the home was either psychological, emotional, or environmental. And just to tell you a little funny story about the environmental, because of the work I do, I have a background in electricity. And a lot of times when people would be complaining about unusual events happening in their home, we'd look for faulty wiring. This one family was saying that their kids kept having these horrible nightmares. And we did an examination of the room, and we found that there was an electrical outlet right behind the bunk beds that these kids used, and that the outlet did not have a proper ground. And if it's not properly grounded and there's a lot of current floating around, that free-floating voltage can actually cause paranoia and cause nightmares and all types of manifestations. So being who we are, Dom also with a background in electricity, we grounded the outlets and the dreams stopped. So that was the goal. And the goal in all this paranormal work was really the work that we did. We occasionally would go to one of these haunted historical places or mansions or whatever. That wasn't what it was about for us. It was helping people in their private homes feel comfortable and secure in their homes. And a lot of the paranormal media, the television shows and the movies and such, brought out such hype and such fear that people immediately started thinking that they had something going wrong in their homes or haunting of some type or another. And like I said, 90% of the cases were either emotional or something environmental. One more environmental story. This fellow invited us to his apartment here in Queens, New York, and he said he kept seeing and hearing things and that he was constantly getting sinus infections. And he said he did not have any sinus infections before he had moved into this apartment. And using the empathy and also a little bit of intuitive skills and a little bit of logical thinking, I sort of like scanned the room. And I noticed that there was an air duct toward the ceiling that had a piece of cardboard taped over it. And I said to the gentleman, I said, "What's the cardboard for over the air duct?" And he said, "Oh, occasionally there's bad smells that come out of there." I said, "Oh, here we go." So I got a ladder. I climbed up. I took the cardboard off the duct. I took the duct register off, and the entire duct was filled with fungus. I mean, it was just unbelievable. What he was growing himself a small small mushroom factory in there or something. But there are types of fungi that will cause hallucinations when they're inhaled. So in any event, we cleaned it out carefully, of course, and then we told him he has to have his building clean out the rest of it. And after it was cleaned out, all of his issues went away. So that was another example of an environmental cause for what was perceived as paranormal activity. Emotional. This is a great story. We got a call from a couple who had built their dream home after 25 years of marriage in a very affluent neighborhood. And it was a brand new home, and they said that they were having paranormal activity that was preventing them from completing the construction of their home. So the team went up, and it was a beautiful, beautiful home and an amazing neighborhood. And so while the team was going around scanning the house and looking for anything that could be an anomaly, environmental anomaly or anything of that nature, I sat with the couple and we talked for quite some time. In the process of having this conversation, it came out that what had happened was they were having problems. The construction companies they were hiring kept quitting on them. And they hired a paranormal team because the wife had sent some stuff in the house. And the paranormal team came in. They brought a psychic. And the psychic, whoever they brought in, went into the house, spent 5 minutes, and said, "You built your home on land that belonged to a Native American chief. His spirit is angry and doesn't want you to live here. Charge them $900 for saying this," and walked out the door. Okay? Mm-hmm. So in any event, I started talking to this family. In the process of interviewing them and seeing their body language and the way they were relating to one another, I recognized immediately there was some type of stress between the couple. And it ultimately came out that she professionally is a construction supervisor. And when you have a home built for you, you normally hire an owner's representative to oversee the construction, make sure that everything's being done properly, and so on. And she elected to do that herself. Well, she was never happy with the work they were doing, and she would complain, and they would quit. And they'd have to hire new contractors to come in, rip out the work the other people had done, and do it over. And this was going on cyclically. It was going on continuously, which was then depleting all of the funds that they had saved and put together to build this wonderful home, and was having a negative impact on the relationship. It was easier to blame the paranormal than to take personal responsibility for what was going on. So consequently, I recommended that they hire an owner's representative, that she stay out of it. And ultimately, their home was completed and done beautifully. And of course, there was no paranormal activity. So again, a lot of the things, you know, and media is fun. It's entertaining for people who like to watch and get scared. That's fine. I have no problem with that. But when you see something on television, don't take it for granted, or on the internet, don't take it for granted that it's real or 100% accurate. Do a little investigation. Use your mind and vet for yourself, because what happens is a lot of people see something. They immediately assume that this is something that can happen everywhere and anywhere. And a lot of people, rather than take personal responsibility for what's not working in their lives, would rather blame the divine or the paranormal. And that's exactly what's been happening in about 9 out of 10 of the cases that we worked on.
It sounds interesting, because especially, I mean, it's a great idea to put out there, because that's what people are learning, that their thoughts, they're actually creating things. So this woman, by her own emotional response, the situation was creating the problems.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it's easier to blame the paranormal. And I really, really, really hate the people, whether there's a lot of good, talented people in the world, but there's a lot of scammers who walk in a place. I mean, that's standard fare. You know, you're on a graveyard. You're on this. You know, you got this spear. And people go, oh, my God, I paid good money. This person knows what they're talking about. Not always so.
Absolutely. You know, here's my 2 cents on not my 2 cents, but my whole theory on this. Number one, does spiritual activity, does haunting per se, I don't like the word haunting, but does spiritual activity, is there either residual spiritual activity or active spiritual activity? The answer is yes. It does exist. When we die, when these carbon-based containers of ours cease to exist, the essence of who we are, the soul, the spirit, there's a word for it in every culture, in every language, in every belief system around the world and going back to time immemorial. So what happens to this energy, this chi, the ki, the anima, the pneuma, the energy that makes us who we are, the personality, our individual soul, what happens to that energy when the body stops? And the second law of thermodynamics says that energy can neither be created nor destroyed, but changes from form to form. So what happens to it? Where does it go? That's what I believe we're dealing with when we have spirits that linger or imprint themselves on the environment and then play back in a residual or active live haunting where they're not haunting, but presence. I like the word presence better. The majority of the time, and I believe they're all over the place, and they're constantly here. There is no relationship between a specific area or time or event of that nature. But the idea being is that if you are aware of this, then the question becomes, is it something that you can live with or it's something that bothers you? And I think after when we begin our next segment, because I think we're up for a break right now. Oh, look at that.
Hey,
look at that.
Great.
Look at that.
Great. Yeah.
Your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
People are always looking to invest in a good opportunity. So what if you could invest in the future of kids, like a stock? Not the kind of stock that's about making money, but a stock for social change called Better Futures. With your investment, it helps students like me go to college. My name is Charles, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
And we're at the last quarter already. And what's fun having another radio host on is he knows about the commercials. Great timing. Great timing. But what Victor brought out that's really, really important is we're at a point that people are becoming very sensitive and that, you know, their senses are awakening and either they're being able to see things or feel things. And part of this is sort of like a multidimensional thing. All of a sudden, somebody who doesn't know anything is jumping into a world with, like, my God, what's going on? You know, am I going crazy? I'm seeing. And TV, a lot of times, you can't go buy it. Like Victor says, it's entertainment. You have to start realizing we're dealing, working with energy. And just keep the, you know, keep these ideas in mind. You know, even I didn't know about the environmental. That's pretty cool. So I'm glad you brought that up. But now I want to go into Victor's show. You know, we talk about him briefly. You know, a very interesting man here. But, you know, what Destination Unlimited, you know, Dare to Ask. I mean, I love the hat, you know, the Raiders of the Ark approach. What are you bringing forth in your show? I mean, what are you, tell people about your show because I want them to listen. You're an interesting person.
Thank you for that, and I will. I just want to say one thing, and I just want to be very clear about this. I had talked about that couple who had hired a psychic or a psychic came to their home. That psychic obviously was not the most integrous person. There are many wonderful and real and genuine and caring practicing psychics out there. So like anything, if you're going out to hire a psychic, you know, the old expression, let the buyer beware, just check them out. Check how other people people have ratings online and can give you references also. You know, don't turn off to psychics just because there are some bad ones. There's always bad within the great. So like I said, the one apple shouldn't spoil the entire crater, the entire barrel. So just beware as you would in any endeavor where you're giving money in exchange for a service. That's all. So I just wanted to get that out and be very clear about that.
I appreciate that because I wasn't really, you know, being judgmental because, gee, I'm a psychic myself. You know,
I know you weren't, but I just wanted to
kill myself here.
No, absolutely. No, I knew that. And I just wanted to make sure that our listeners understood that, you know, that that in that case was, you know, not unique, but also not very common, that they're most of the practicing psychics out there are really good and they're really honest and are very helpful. So I just wanted to make that very clear.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us have gone a bad name from the people that take it as uncaring business. There's a lot, like Victor said, there's a lot of people who truly, truly are so empathetic, you know, and they want to help. You know, so when I've heard so many horror stories of old, just real quick myself, there was this one person that had come to me. She goes, my sister is so upset. She went to this person and she says, you know, she does give devils around her, etc. But here, put some money in this Bible and she'll give you a cure for it all. And she kept on putting money in the Bible and nothing. She was so possessed, according to the psychic. So you hear these horror stories. But there is an awful lot. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
Thank you. Yeah. So getting back to Destination Unlimited,
yes.
I had the blessing of meeting Chris and Liani at a wedding last year. And at the time, they had told me about Om Times Radio and had offered a slot. And I actually didn't get started, I don't think, until either I think it was either March or April of this year when I actually started. But the concept of the show is really my personal, what I'm interested in myself. And I think, you know, there's so many people out there who are fascinated by spirit and science. And I, my whole philosophy behind the show, there was a quotation that I can't source. I would love to give attribution to it. I thought it was Einstein who had said it, but I can't find anywhere that he actually said it. But the quotation went, and I'm going to paraphrase now, something to the effect that the paths of science and spirituality would one day cross roads. And on that day, we would know the mind of God. And that's really the premise behind Destination Unlimited. I seek out guests who are in the fields of science, guests who are in the fields of religion and spirituality. And I bring that information together. I had a wonderful interview, which will be coming up actually in a couple of weeks on Om Times Radio, with a gentleman who is a physician. He's a psychiatrist and a medical doctor. And he actually runs the Duke Center for Medicine and Spirituality at Duke University. And we talk about how much how important some type of faith, it doesn't matter which one it is, but that people who have some type of faith base heal faster, live longer than those who do not. And I think that's really fascinating to me. And, you know, the old story of which came first, the chicken or the egg. Is it because that they're spiritual, that they live and heal faster and live longer? Or is it that people who have longevity are more spiritual? And you know what? The answer really isn't important. It's just that it is when you look at it. And this show, like I said, it'll be on in a few weeks. And it'll be promoted on Om Times and on my Facebook page and so on. But this is the type of guest that I love to have. I have a guest coming up this coming Wednesday. Her name is Judica Illis, and she's an expert and a longtime author on the occult and the esoteric. And she's going to be talking about Halloween and talking about the cultural history of Halloween. The story behind it and what it really means, and a lot of the customs that are associated with it. We're going to be talking about witches, and we're going to be talking about pumpkins and black cats, and we're also going to be talking about the real meaning behind all of this, which is absolutely fascinating. So again, these are the types of guests that I seek out. I'm going to have somebody by the name of Grandmother Alia on in a few weeks, and she'll be a fascinating guest, I'm sure. So this is what I seek out. I actually seek out the things that I am interested in to bring it to others. And I used to teach a class many years ago around 2000 called Enervision, and this class was something that I created to help people understand the human energy field. And what I would do is teach people how to either see, feel, or hear, or sense in whatever way they sense the human energy field, or what we call the aura. And people's minds were blown by the time the class was over. Everybody had the experience in one way or another of knowing what that energy felt like, how to interact with others, and how to be aware of people who are like energy vampires when they're in the social situations and they start feeling drained, and how to protect themselves and so on and so forth. And at the end of all those classes, I used to say, I feel like the Wizard of Oz. I haven't given you anything you didn't arrive with. I've just helped you remember and acknowledge it. And that's my whole philosophy about the show and everything that I do. I put information out there. If it resonates with you, run with it. Find out more about it. Don't follow me. Don't listen to me. Don't believe me. Just take the information. It's not me. It's the information. And run with that information if you feel that it resonates with you, and learn and grow. If it doesn't, let it go. And that's just as good. And that's my philosophy of all the work that I do in the spiritual field.
Well, like I said, we are so similar. I choose, and I do, I seek out certain people, you know, because they have new ideas, or they take something old and, you know, bring it up to date. So, you know, our show is to be parallel, you know, because there's so much information out there. You know, it's like I can touch upon some things and you touch upon some things, and we both go from the premise, you know, we look into things that we're interested in and that we want to share with people. So that's why I felt I really wanted to, you know, introduce you to who's ever listening so they could get to know you and seek out your show, because it's, like I said, we come from the same aligned thought.
Absolutely.
Being on Om, I think I mentioned to a friend that may be listening out there about being a Wizard of Oz. I think the whole thing with the Land of Oz and the Wizard pertains to so much of us, you know, in the background, you know, pushing out, getting all the little tools going and gadgets and making everything work, you know, to bring out, create a better land. What is it in Australia? They call it the Land of Oz. Almost, you know, the new world.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, it just, that whole concept, there are so many folks out there who are having unique and wonderful spiritual experiences. And a lot of people don't give credence to them personally because they don't believe they have the ability to do that. They doubt or they fear. And I think if we can deliver the one message is that if you get that information, no matter how it manifests, whether it's through direct communication, through the internet, through reading, through conversations with other people, or just from spirit itself, trust. Trust. If it sounds right, if it's not threatening, if it's not demanding, trust in it, run with it, change your life, and then by doing so, change the world.
And I agree with you on this side. So many people don't think they have anything to offer, but they do. And thank you, Victor, for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And remember, Destination Unlimited, Wednesday at 8 p.m.
Absolutely. And Victor at victorthevoice.com or victorthevoice.com.
I love it.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great week, and we'll see you next.